Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Comeuppance Reviews podcast. This is the Brettster speaking.
Hey, it's time, man. We're back. I like that.
Well, as I always say, I try to say it a little differently every time, and I probably will keep doing that until or unless I find a way that I really, really like a good trademark, you know, like Chuck Woolery, you know, he said two and two, that, you know, something like that. Until I stumble upon something like that, I'm just going to keep changing it.
That's an interesting show, Love Connection. Because it's like, it's before all these wacky, like Hinge apps. And apps, yeah. And Unhinged, as people like to call it. And, there's other ones. Farmers Only, my favorite.
Well, but what is two and two? Does that mean like 2 minutes and 2 seconds?
It must have been, right? Because I think back in the day, commercials weren't forever. I think they were about 2 minutes worth of commercials and then back to your program.
But what's two and two? Like, why is it two and two?
Maybe it's 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
Because that's pretty clever if he cottoned on to that, where it's like he figured out that it's 2 minutes and 2 seconds, and he came up with that snappy catchphrase. That's pretty slick. There's that.
Back to two and two, because Chuck Woolery is very cool. It's like
he sure is. They all were back then,
I'm always partial to Wink Martindale.
Myself. Well, I know you are, but we had Bob Eubanks, you had Bob Barker, Peter Tamarkin.
Oh, I love Peter Tamarkin. I love, Press Your Luck, right? That was one of your favorite Whammy, right?
Yes, the boy George Whammy is my all-time favorite.
Do you really want a Whammy?
Yep, that's an actual... Press Your Luck was very, on the pulse of the times. They had a boy George Whammy in the 80s,
They can't do that today. What would it be?
It would probably be Taylor Swift or
Whammy, and then there was she would have a blonde wig on and all.
Yeah.
It's like you have bad luck.
right. Is that a bad blood? Funny.
Yeah. I just thought of that.
See, you thought they couldn't do modern day Whammies? Well, I guess they can.
Well, get Tom Newton back to be on Whammy and you got yourself a viewer.
Well, we got one.
Well, I gotta remember I went to Don, but yeah.
But we were having a discussion that was movie related. I would say earlier, it was a lot earlier, but we thought, see what people think about this, which is, how a lot of actors, they start their career kind of on the bottom, which is considered to be like horror and exploitation. A lot of people started that way, like Kevin Bacon, famously, Demi Moore, Jennifer Aniston, almost anyone you could think of that kind of started in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they started with a horror film. Sorry, say that again, Ty.
The Master, Demi Moore.
I was thinking of Parasite.
Oh, Parasite. I was thinking of when she was on that TV show, The Master, Lee Van Cleef.
Well, it's a great show, but I remember that episode. But funnily enough, there are some actors that never did that, and as we were saying, they skipped the line. In other words, they didn't have to pay their dues, seemingly. If you look at Meryl Streep, Meryl Streep has never done horror exploitation. She got to jump right into classy, prestige projects.
Like Sophie's Choice and all those things. So it's or Silkwood.
Right. And same thing with Julia Roberts. And Julia Roberts never really did horror.
No, the closest you're going to get is Blood Red.
And that's not very close.
No.
I mean, it's somewhat low budget, but that's it. It's still kind of a classy production.
Kind of, but I do remember.
So we're saying they got to skip the line. Yeah,
they did. They got to skip the line. Yeah.
Sorry, agree. What?
I was saying that Dennis Hopper was that evil oil baron in Blood Red.
Right. But but no one. It's not on the level of a Parasite or a Leprechaun.
No. Exactly.
So, I think what we were saying is, what if they realized that and they wanted to correct it? So now in their career, they went back and did a gritty, grimy horror movie or some sort of exploitation movie.
We learned Meryl Streep was in Saw 11.
Right. Or something like that. Or one of those terribly low budget ones like you see on Tubi.
Oh my goodness. They should be on Tubi originals. That'd be just so funny.
And wouldn't that be so funny? It's Meryl Streep in I don't know, Ding Dong, You're Dead, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or Deadly Dilf 2.
Right. It would be something like that. Meryl Streep? If she did that, that would cause a real stir. That people talking about, there'd be people on the internet talking about that like crazy.
That'd be amazing. You just get all these classy people just be in these silly Tubi horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, like Morgan Freeman, but he was on that garbagey movie, which I never really watched. It's called Guilty by Association.
Association? Yeah, I think I remember seeing that in the video store, but never.
I think I skipped it, but I might watch it soon. Maybe it's on the streamers, but just like.
Because that's one of those things where it's, you know, someone who became famous later, so then they kind of like. You know,
I don't know how they cajoled them, but
yeah, they didn't have to cajole at the time, but then, you know, then they, you see this all the time, like someone becomes famous, then they put their face front and center on a video box, even though they're not in it that much.
Yes. I know an example. I know, they got in trouble for it once, which was, Lionsgate put like this huge Jesse Eisenberg face on this movie he made called like Camp Hell. He's barely, yeah. And Jesse Eisenberg got mad.
So that shows he has no sense of humor.
No, he thinks, I don't want to get into a rant about him, but just to say he's untalented.
And he thinks he's too good for Camp Hell. Come on. Exactly. You're not, Jesse.
No. It wouldn't be for the, you say, yeah, all right, I was in this. He plastered my face.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And he, like, here's a good example. Tom Hanks in Mazes and Monsters.
Well, yes. And that's right. He hates talking about it. You're not allowed to talk about Mazes and Monsters. That's his best.
I agree it's his best work, along with Bosom Buddies. But, you know, if you look at the DVD, it's a huge Tom Hanks face.
Oh, it is. And he's all over it, too. It's not like he's in it for, like, 1 second. He's, like, the main character. That's
true. No, yeah, he is. He's the main character. But there's so many other ones that I really should have prepared. I didn't even know we're going to be talking about this. I would have thought of some other ones.
Well, maybe you can think of them for the next episode. But those are two good examples.
Yeah, so...
I know one. Yeah. Sandra Bullock in Hangman.
Right. That's a good one. Demi Moore also, besides Parasite, I think she was in a movie called like Choices or something.
I've heard of that. I've seen that hanging around like at like the budget things. You know,
right, it's on these budget, yeah. But I think they had a huge Demi Moore face for I believe it's called Choices.
Wasn't there a Christian Slater one too? It's like
I was just thinking that Christian Slater,
like Dare to Love or something. It's called.
Right. Yeah, that's a good example.
Oh, I think we talked about this before, but I saw an ad for that Spiderwick's Chronicles show that Christian Slater is going to be on. He plays Mulgrath. Did I talk to you about this? Maybe it was Connoisseur.
I don't believe you talked to me about this.
There's a movie called The Spiderwick Chronicles, and then they spinned it off to this show. It's coming into straight to Roku channel.
Off a spider?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I guess in the movie, in the original movie, McNulty played Mulgrath, and then this new show, Christian Slater is playing Mulgrath, who's like the villain who like takes people's souls or something. And it's like, it's not good if you're going straight to Roku. It's like this. But I might check it out because it has Christian Slater. So I'll keep everyone posted.
And speaking of horror, which we, as you say, sometimes dip into, which I'm happy about because that's what I like. But you made an observation about the Scream series that I think you wanted to share.
The newer ones, from Scream 5 and Scream 6, which you mentioned in the last podcast. You know, you watched it and you. But if you know, they always talk about Stu Mocker, you know, played by
Matthew. Right.
Like they never said his last name Mocker in the first movie. I watched it recently since I heard his last name. It's like they never say his name is Stu Mocker. And now it was twist where like it might be a spoiler, but you know, Ski Ulrich has a kid in the movie. He has a kid. He's 16 years old, and then like they Stu Mocker's a daughter. Like, how do these kids have children?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a spoiler because they kind of say that, right? I don't know. I mean,
it's like, I'm Stu Mocker's cousin and daughter, and also he has a long lost brother who's also young. It's like,
right. So there's that. But also, you know, there's like anytime they refer to him as Stu Mocker. Like, this, like, yeah, this is the house where Stu Mocker lived. And like, it's always Stu Mocker. It's which you're right. Yeah. They never mentioned before, but in these newer ones, they always mention that it's Stu Mocker.
They say Billy Loomis, right? But I
mean, yeah, they do. They do say that, but it's funny.
His name, but never said Stu Mocker's name.
Right. Well, and I guess it's Stu Mocker, and they want everyone to know that.
And I think, well, I think there's like, it's like Randy Meek's daughter. It's just like, what is going
on? Well, I don't know. I would, that would be interesting.
Did they even, I think they might have mentioned Randy Meek, because they mentioned every character in the other Scream movies.
They do, complete with the last name.
It was last name. I don't remember what Roman's last name was, but they mentioned
you don't
Roman.
Have to worry that the writers of the next Scream movie will remember it for you. You don't have to. No one remembered Stu Mocker. Now we all know it's Stu Mocker.
I'm convinced they made up that name for these movies. There's no, but okay, but yet still no mention of Tatum. It's like, I think that's now a joke in the Scream circles, which is
right. what's her name?
Rose McGowan.
Yeah,
she dies, and then they never mention it ever again.
Ever. Right, but they mention everyone else all the time.
Like, they never mention Tatum Dewey, or whatever Dewey was last name. I don't know, he's last names. It's like, oh no, Stu Mocker, man. It's
just like, right. And like, even Kirby, you know, kind of became a major character later on. So, you know, we probably didn't think we'd be hearing much from the Curbster.
Yeah, it took a while from the Curbster to come back. So it's like, but I guess they're making a new one, and Nev is back.
Right, and we'll see which last names they always mention.
They better mention Stu Mocker at least four times, or not one.
Okay, well, that's fair.
We should go to our subject for today,
which is, I believe, one of your favorite actors, William Forsythe.
Yes, William Forsythe. Gotta love him. He's in these great movies that we'll be talking about on the site and on his IMDb filmography.
And here's a guy who's definitely not afraid to get down and dirty as far as, you know, direct-to-video and stuff, which is what we like.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into it.
Wait, hold on. I have some deep background.
Oh, go ahead, please.
He was born June 7th, 1955 in New York City.
Love it.
Okay, moving on. What's your first movie?
We're jumping right in with Strike Force.
All right, Strike Force. You love Strike Force.
I just watched it recently. And if people haven't seen Strike Force, or AKA The Librarians, William Forsythe, he is a part of this elite team. And he has to find Burt Reynolds, who plays Irish.
Yes. Like, I know, it's very, very silly. Very, there's a scene in like his backyard or something.
Yeah, I think it's at his mansion, Burt Reynolds' mansion, whose name is Irish. But the cast is amazing before I get into more of the plot. You got William Forsythe in a main starring role. You got Burt Reynolds, Erica Eleniak, Christopher Atkins, who steals the movie, Ed Lauder, Andrew Devoff, Michael Parks, Daniel Bernhardt and Matthias Hughes, and of course, Senator or Congressman Mark Foley.
Right. No, it's, I mean, that cast, as far as like direct-to-video B movies, I mean, that is very tough to beat, if not impossible.
It's like, I think William Forsythe must have called up all his friends and said, okay, we got to make this movie.
and Mark Foley, does that include Mark Foley? Is he one of his friends?
Does William Forsythe know Mark Foley? It's like, well, as we put in the review, he's disgraced politician Mark Foley.
See, this is such old news. I don't even remember why he was disgraced, because I thought it was that Wide Stance, but that's not.
Name again? Oh, Larry Craig.
Well, Larry Craig. So it's not Wide. He's not the Wide Stance guy. So I don't remember what it was. So all I remember is Wide Stance about anything.
He's the Wide Stance guy.
Well, I mean, imagine that funny. Being your life. You know, that's your big epitaph or big, you know, thing you're known for in life. I mean.
When Larry Craig unfortunately passes away, it's going to say that on his tombstone. You know, also he wants a pizza on his tombstone. But
No, but it's going to say Larry Craig, born here, died here. And then in quotes, yeah. The Wide Stance guy.
Yep.
On his grave.
On his grave. But hopefully he lives a long, happy life.
Yeah, sure. But you see, he's we can make fun of this because he brought this on himself.
He did. Like, if he did. So Larry.
He brought it on himself. Yeah.
I think I looked up the Mark Foley issue. It's something about, like, you know, messaging certain male interns or whatever. And it's like,
Was that before or after Strike Force?
After Strike Force.
Okay. So here's what would probably happen. He was in Strike Force. He got a swelled head. You know, he thought he was untouchable.
Yeah.
You know. His ego got to him, and he thought he could do anything he wanted because he was in Strike Force.
You know, I would almost think the same, but no. It's like, so.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you get popular in Strike Force. If I was in Strike Force, I would never stop saying it.
It's like, I know. On your grave, he would say, I was in Strike Force.
I wish I was in Strike Force. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so if people haven't seen this though, William Forsythe's like looking for this missing daughter of Irish or whatever, played by Burt Reynolds. And then also Erika Laniak is related to her, and then she goes undercover. But the real bad guy is Andrew Devoff as Marcos Canarias. And of course, obviously, he's very evil. And Matthias Hughes is his right hand man. And you gotta love this one. And I do have an update because I messaged Matthias Hughes on Instagram, because in the last scene of the Strike Force, there's a fight. There looks like it's gonna be a fight scene between Erika Laniak, who knows martial arts in the movie, versus Matthias Hughes. And then it looks like it, and I watched every second of Matthias Hughes during the scene. And like, oh, it's not there. So I messaged him, and he's like, no, I don't remember. I just remember fighting Daniel Bernhardt.
So even though it was in an Instagram message, it still had an accent?
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, Matthias Hughes is really cool, because first off, he answered me back. Just, you know.
Right, so he cares about his fans, and that is very cool.
Yeah. He and Cassie Van Dien really do care about the fans on Instagram. Yeah. And I also
ask Casper any question you want.
I messaged Casper about, because he's in a movie or was in a movie with Chad Michael Collins, also a nice guy on Instagram. And he was like, he's just a cool, he should be the next, I told him he should be the next villain in the Sniper movie. So wouldn't it be great?
You said that to Casper?
Yeah.
Or what'd he say? Did he respond?
I mentioned Sam Michael Collins. And he said, yeah, cool idea. And I think Caster saw that, because if you mention his name, he will like it. In a good way. So that'd be a great idea, though. Then, you know, you can get Master Guns, you know, Tom Berenger, you know, Caster Van Dien is the new Sniper.
Right. Well, since they apparently are never going to stop making these DTV Sniper movies, then I guess the possibilities are endless. You know, you could get Casper as like a sniper, and then
I'm trying to think of a cool name for him. Like, you know, I can't think of a cool name.
Master Guns Jr.
Oh no, he'd be the villain, Cass Van Dien.
He could still be Master Guns Jr.
Yeah, okay, so he's Master Guns Jr. from a different fit, that Billy Zane or Tom Bear, like Stu Mocker, you know, just like Master Guns Jr.
And then, right, because as we've mentioned famously, that his own son calls him Master Guns.
Yeah.
So his son calls him Master Guns. He doesn't say dad or pops.
He doesn't say Tom Beckett, Mr. Beckett, sir, you know.
No, it's Master Guns.
But I could see, I just thought it was a silly scene, though, just out of my head about Cassie Van Dien as the villain. He's so evil. He knows how to shoot two sniper rifles at the same time.
That is very silly, yes.
Yeah. And you can see one eye in one of them, the other eye in the other one.
Wait, they got to come up with new ways to do a spin on the old sniper formula. So
I just thought of it. It'd be funny a little bit, but still kind of serious because he's shooting people. He's shooting like innocents or something. And then Chad, Michael Collins, and Billy Zane and Master Guns all team up to stop him because he has two sniper rifles. You got to be really careful.
Right. Well, hopefully that will happen someday. But back to the subject at hand, you know, we're talking about William Forsythe here.
Oh, yeah. Hot sniper above ground or something. All right, so. Okay, yeah, so Strike Force. Cool movie, fun movie. People should check it out. You've seen it.
Oh, yes. Yep.
A good one. So we'll jump to our next one, which is one you haven't seen. I'm going to make this one quick because it's a week. Forsythe, which is Big City Blues from 1997. With him and Burt Reynolds.
So he's teaming up with Irish.
Yeah, he must be friends. He's been friends on the set of Big City Blues. Also Juan Carlos Esposito and Baltazar Getty. So here's the problem with them. They're like hitmen. It's like Pulp Fiction knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you can't see the movie. It's like all red and black. It's literally unwatchable. Like everything's just terrible. You don't care about it because you can't see anything. Maybe they had their actual movie, I think it would have been at least watchable, but you really cannot see it. So I don't recommend it.
Is it directed by Albert Brun?
No, it's directed by a guy named Clive Fleury.
Oh, that sounds very Albert Pyun to me.
I know, and let's not forget that the Birdster was in Crazy Six.
So yes, which is horrible. The movie's so bad.
I've seen it. It's like, if it was actually a better movie, it would be good. Because you got like,
because it's like all shot in close up, from what I remember. Yeah, it's like nothing but close ups.
You got Rob Lowe almost looking pretty cool. It's just like, and Burt Reynolds could have just been more evil, and who else is in that? Oh, Ice-T. Well, Ice-T is Ice-T. But
you're on the I think we try to see the good in lots of things, but there's very little good in Crazy Six.
No, I tried. I tried. It's like, that's when Rob Lowe was definitely on the skids and new low, you know?
He hit a new low. I think that makes Hostile Intent seem like a masterpiece. Yes. Which it is anyway, but that really makes it seem like it.
That should be a movie. Oh, I don't know if I want to rewatch that for a third time, but maybe it's like, it's an insane sentence to say.
Yes, for most people it would be, but
So Big City Blues, it was just a regular looking normal movie. I think it would have just been watchable, but it's not. So we'll go to our next Forsyth, which is Dead Bang.
Oh, right. I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
So, and he plays the straight-laced FBI agent Arthur Kressler. But this is really a Don Johnson joint. And he's a cop on the edge.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, just that it's all about the Don Johnson, you know, coming off of Miami Vice popularity. So, you know.
Yeah. Don Johnson made a good choice here. You know, he's doing like a kind of an action movie, action thriller, directed by John Frankenheimer. It's like, if I was Don Johnson, I was like, okay, this is going to be a hit. I think but the movie does have its issues, which I'll get to in a second. But, you know, Don Johnson plays Jerry Beck. People haven't seen this. He's having a bad day. His ex-wife slapped him with a restraining order against his kids. And there's an evil baddie named Robert Bobby Burns, military, played by Frank Military, the actor. Great last name, by the way. And he killed a cop. He's now on the run. And there's also this evil white supremacist plot, too. So what do you remember of this one?
Well, all that. And you know, it's a good sort of, you know, it's a Hollywood production. You know, it's not low budget. Seems like it has a good budget behind it. It's John Frankenheimer. It's an entertaining movie. I think it's not without its flaws, but still pretty good. It's very solid stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I almost wish Don Johnson was in these more type of these movies. He did a lot of these thrillers like Guilty as Sin, which is still a quality movie if you've seen that.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that.
I mean, it's 90s through and through, which is good.
Well, that's a good thing nowadays.
I know. Well, what are these dang thrillers nowadays? Well, I did watch, what did I watch recently? Sleeping Dogs, starring Russell Crowe. And that wasn't that bad. It was almost like a throwback kind of thing. So that he would have made that like 98 or something. What's that one we need to watch with Russell Crowe?
Zach Grant?
Yeah, Zach Grant. No Way.
No Way Back.
No Way Back. Yeah, it's Ian Ziering is a white supremacist, which is also weird. So that's odd. But yeah,
he was in Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Yes. It was a bit messy.
I don't think I've seen that either.
You know, I need to give it another chance, but I remember being very stupid. It's like really stupid. But yeah, so William Forsythe's just, you know, classic kind of supporting role for him. You know, he's nice to see him, I guess. But it's still a good movie. I'd check it out. Now we're going to go to The Immortals. Wait, did you see this one?
No, I've never seen The Immortals.
Oh, well, as William Forsythe, Eric Roberts, Chris Rock, Joe Pantoliano, and Tony Curtis, and Tia Carrera, Tia Relic Hunter Carrera.
Yes.
Eric Roberts, he assembles a team of thieves to rob money from a bunch of different gangsters. And guess who's the ultimate gangster? No, Tony Curtis.
Oh, right.
Let's see. So William Forsythe's just kind of there, unfortunately. It's like he's part of the team of thieves, so that's kind of cool. It's some decent shootouts. It's a classic New Image, 90s.
Eric
Roberts, man.
Yeah, because I remember when Eric Roberts was on Jeff Cooner.
So. Yes.
And then Jeff Cooner's like, yeah, I love The Immortals. Like, well, that's surprising.
You would never expect that. And see, that's smart of him to say that because maybe he could talk about The Immortals. So I'm going to have to rewatch this one. But I remember liking it. I gave it 3 stars on the old website here, 2006, when I posted it. Let's go to one that you've seen. We're going to go to Savage Dawn, 1985. Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
Ben Stryker, played by Lance Henriksen, is a former soldier who rolls in on his motorcycle in the old dusty western town of Aga Dolce. He's a man of few words. But the town is under siege, led by William Forsythe, plays Pig Iron?
Here we go. I think it's Pig Iron, yeah.
Yeah, Pig Iron. I'm reading it kind of too close together here. Yeah, he plays Pig Iron. And Mickey Jones, also who's in Dead Bang, plays Zero, and they're evil bikers. And also Karen Black and George Kennedy are hanging around. I think, and Stryker is supposed to do what he does best, strike, S-T-R-Y-K. I think the review is better than the movie, I have to say.
Probably so.
I remember being kind of boring. What do you remember?
And does this take place in the future?
Yeah, I guess.
Or am I thinking of Steel Dawn with Patrick?
There's Steel Dawn as Patrick Swayze, and there's Steel Frontier, which I think also stars...
That's Chicken Boy.
Yeah, Brian Huckabee, or Huckabee. Which I know that immediately. But
he's the main star, not was it Joe? It's actually Joe Lara.
Joe, I think I put I should do this though. If I can remember to put Brian Huckabee in the top cast, not Joe Lara. I remember this. I know it's not as good as Stone Cold, which I'll do next. I mean, it's kind of boring. There's not much like going on. You remember that?
Right. It could have had a better plot with like, you know, some more intrigue or something. It's just, you know, just a bunch of bikers roaring around for 90 minutes. Yeah. It's not really a good enough thing to have, you know.
That's a tricky genre in a way. Because
I've never been a fan, really, of biker movies. I don't really care that you're on a motorcycle.
I mean, like, I guess there's going to be a new motorcycle movie coming out. There's no Beyond the Law. It's called, like, The Bike Riders. I mean, that's what it's called.
Of course it is. Because, you know, we have to have all these dumbed-down titles.
The Bike Riders, that's so lazy. Well, a lot of titles are lazy these days, but because I watched this Bruce Willis movie a few months ago called Assassin. It's like,
yeah, of course, you know, every movie that comes out these days has an assassin, as I have said many times on this podcast.
And the one that Jeremy Piven, though, is called The System, you know, which is a masterpiece of Jeremy Piven acting, but yeah, George Kennedy also plays a character named Tick. And Richard Lynch is hanging around. And Claudia Udi, is that her name?
Yeah. So a good cast. You know, can't fault the cast. It's just the writing should have been better.
Writing's poor because you don't really care about these dusty towns and the bikers. You got to do something with it.
Right. It's just not enough to just have it. You have to do something.
Yeah. I just think of that because I was thinking of The Stranger, you know, with Kathy Long.
Yes.
It's tricky. It's a tricky genre because it's like you need to just have something going on all the time or it's just going to be boring.
Well, that's true for any movie, really. I mean,
that's true. But look at, you know, one location movie because I just rewatched You're Next and that movie moved. It's highly entertaining. It's a fantastic movie, I think.
No, I agree completely. And it shows really what you can do even if you only have one real location.
Right. So it's like, look at that. And then, but they have this whole dusty town and Savage Dawn. So you don't really care.
I still didn't do anything with it. You know, Your Next, all they had was a house. They had a whole thing with, you know, all this wide open space. And I know. Well, I guess we've ragged on Savage Dawn enough.
Yeah, it just could have been a lot better. Because it could have been like, hey, you know, it's a cool action movie from the 80s? Savage Dawn. Can't say that.
But the other problem is that it's not a bad movie. That's the thing. It's not bad. It's just kind of... meh. It's kind of dull. But it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Yeah, it's meh. Let's go to the classic biker movie, The Stone Cold. We all know about
this. This is a classic for the ages.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's from 1991, and people know it as Brian Bosworth and Lance Henriksen again, and William Forsythe again, and also plays Ice. You know, isn't that great?
Yes.
What a mess. People need to watch this movie. It's so fun.
Right. It's just pure fun. That's what people want. That's what people need. A fun, fast-paced movie that, yes, is quote-unquote stupid, but it's kind of stupid in the right way.
Because, like I said, I think I might have talked to this before on another podcast we did, but, you know, I rewatched it a couple years ago. I bought some cheese cubes.
Oh, yes. I think I remember the cheese cubes. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the cheese cubes. I think I just had my usual drinky or whatever, but it's like, this is a good cheese cube movie. You know, it's just like,
and that's what you want in life.
So, but yeah, Brian Bosworth, you know, he plays John Stone. Should I even go into this? It's like,
I mean, I imagine people have seen this.
We'll just say that it's we gave it basically 4 stars. We said it's what does it say? It's entertaining macho stupidity.
Because you know, it's very much on the same wavelength as Roadhouse.
Yes,
I think if you like Roadhouse, I definitely think you'd like Stone Cold because it's very similar kind of feeling to it for the same intended audience.
I want to go back in time. Let's go back to like the 80s.
We're doing our best.
Well, that's what we're doing in these podcasts. Let's go back in time again. These are just made up people, I'm going to say. But yeah, you're like a rollicking macho dude going to the video store. And he's like, these like duders loved Roadhouse a few years ago. We need some of that good beer action.
It's a good beer action.
Yeah. So, hey, what's this? Brian Bosworth, I like football. No, this is all positive. I get to see a bunch of like macho dudes going to Blockbuster and renting Stone Cold.
Right, because maybe they have a mustache and a mullet and a Hawaiian shirt and they just came back from working out. Yeah, tight, stone-washed, or possibly acid-washed jeans.
Yeah.
And they're looking for a movie to rent because, you know, they went to the gym and had their workout. And
I think they went to the bar, but they weren't they're drinking non-alcoholics. They drove okay. But it's like...
So these are responsible mulleted
men. These are responsible mulleted macho people.
Okay. Yeah. And do they eat their cheese cubes or?
Cheese cubes weren't invented then.
Oh, okay.
In 89 and 91. So you
They didn't have cheese cubes back then. So they could have bought some cheese and then cut it into cubes.
Yeah, maybe you had some nachos. We're going to make some nachos at home, watch Stone Cold on VHS. Well,
and that's what that's what their woman would do.
So. Yeah, yeah. Their woman, like, they're all bikers, kind of maybe too. And
so they'd say, like, Debbie. Cut this cheese into cubes. Because her name would be Debbie, probably.
Yeah,
Debbie. Cut this cheese into cubes. I'm gonna pop in Stone Cold and VCR,
and in the VCR, and she looks like maybe like has a big hair.
Yeah, I'm picturing big blonde hair. Yeah,
big blonde hair.
Trying to think what actress.
This a Tweed, Shannon Tweed, but
I was thinking, right, but maybe not as like pretty as Shannon Tweed, but with similar hair.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone like that, but like who's Well, if you think of one,
I'm on the spot. See, I might think of one later on in the podcast, so I guess we can move on from this idea.
Yeah, but it's a fun idea, like these macho dudes watching Stone Cold at home. So, right, we're gonna go to our next warning force life, which is 88 minutes.
Which is with Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino. Ooh-ah.
Yeah, I pull up my own car.
I was trying to make sure I get that right. Pull up my own car. You know, it's like.
Right, because what is it, Forsythe, that he actually accuses him of blowing up his own car?
Well, William Forsythe, if people know this movie, which people should immediately, Al Pacino plays Jack Graham and he puts Neil McDonough, the serial killer, in jail. But there's a mystery afoot. And then someone named Guy LaForge, which is, calls Al Pacino. It's like you have 88 minutes to live. But then William Forsythe, who's Al Pacino's pal, accuses him of doing these murders for some stupid reason.
Right. Okay, well, it's almost Righteous Kill level.
Well, it's from the same makers of Righteous Kill. That's what
and you can tell. You can absolutely tell.
It's like pre-Righteous Kill by a year. So it's just like...
And it's a little more direct-to-video feeling. Like, I think it went to the theater, though, right?
Sure, it did went to the theater. Well,
it doesn't have, like, the production, like bigness of Righteous Kill, but it very similar.
Well, yeah, because William Forsythe plays Frank Parks. That's Hoo-ah's buddy.
Right, that's his name, Hoo-ah, right.
It's just a springboard, but just like, and then Al Pacino yells at him, like, Hoo-ah, don't you see there's a frame?
Right, and then his car blows up, and then he thinks Jack Graham did it, and then there's that classic moment that we always quote. In fact, we did it just a minute ago, where he says, and Al Pacino starts to lose his patience.
Yeah.
And he says, what, you think I blew up my own car?
Yeah. See, it's funny when you do it. And it's also, Al Pacino's wig is also amazing in it. But it's still I wrote in this review that he was wasted in it. He's not in it that much, but what you get of Forsythe is pretty good. You should be lucky that he's in it at all.
And also a fan favorite, Lili, isn't it?
Yes, Lili Sobieski, and of course Amy Brenneman.
And, right. Friend of our family, Amy Brenneman.
Whatever she thought about it. She's wasted more than Forsyth in it. Didn't do anything. All she does is call Jack Glenn to say put on MSNBC.
Right.
I know about these little tidbits because I actually watched it last year. So
of course you did. And you've probably seen it a couple times before too.
I think I've seen it at least three times. Watch it anytime, but there's something about it.
It has that righteous kill level of stupidity.
Yeah, and like there's something off about this. Like, why is Al Pacino in this Millennium New Image movie?
Well, exactly. Yeah, and it has that feel to it, which is a feeling that we like around these parts. Yeah. And I assume if you're listening to this, you probably like it too, because it's entertainingly off.
Yes, and you got at the beginning, it has that slasher-esque beginning.
Yes.
Can't do that today. Well, I guess you could, but the movie would go straight to Shudder or something.
Right. And it wouldn't have Al Pacino. It would probably have like Larry Pacino or something, like Sal's brother. Sal, could have Sal Pacino, yeah.
So yeah, check out 88 Minutes. So our next movie.
Wow, that's a great wrap up. Well, but what else is there to say, really?
Well, yeah, just buy it. Buy it and watch it and then put it on repeat and watch it again.
But I can see why people will be confused, because there's that other movie, 15 Minutes, with Robert De Niro.
Right.
Yeah, so you had 15 minutes with De Niro and 88 minutes with Pacino. Yeah. And if you're at the video store, I could kind of see being confused by that.
Yeah, they're both in like these like minute movies. Just like, yeah. I like 15 minutes. Something about that movie is off too. But we'll go to our next movie, which I think we're running out of site movies.
I think I can think of one you haven't mentioned yet, but I'll wait. I'll let you go down the
list.
You
want to guess?
Direct Hit?
I was going to do that eventually. Okay. I'll just do it now. So I'll just do it now. So this is a William Forsythe's main role again. Here he plays John Hatt. This is directed from 1994. Directed by Joseph Murheim. It has Forsythe, Joe Campa? Campa? Did I say her name? Richard Norton and George Segal from Just Shoot Me.
Okay, so great people. Some unexpected people there.
Because George Segal is kind of fun to listen to, because now I watch Just Shoot Me, and it's like, why are you in this? But okay, so William Forsythe plays John Hatch. He's had a long and storied career as a hitman, also called a trigger man or finger man by his associates. But he's tired of the game, wants to retire. Fortunately for him, his boss, James Tronson, that was his last name, played by George Segal, won't allow it, cajoling him to the famous one last job. So, but his target's an innocent woman. So he doesn't do the hit. And George Segal is not, or Tronson.
Charles Tronson.
Yeah, Charles Tronson. See, that should be Bronson's name. Yeah, Charles Tronson. How does he look like Charles Bronson? I think we talked about this before, but he was born and aged into a guy who looks like Charles Bronson.
It's a miracle of nature. I think that's really all it is. It's like a sunflower or like a rose. It just kind of blossomed.
Lucky. He's a lucky man. Michael doesn't sound like him.
No, right, so his voice, he needs to really train his own voice to, so he sounds good. I wish I was dead. He should really try to do that. He should work on that.
No, you won't. It's like, he has another great line. Anytime Charles Bronson spoke, it was kind of fun to listen to. All right, so direct hit. Okay, so because William Forsythe wouldn't do the hit, Tronson hires rival Fingerman Rogers. But I Richard Norton, they were complete the hit.
Rogers Fingerman, that's his name.
No, he's a rival.
No, I know.
That's a weird name, though. I could that could be someone's name, Rogers Fingerman. Well, there's that stupid. Well, on Game of Thrones, if you haven't seen. No, there's a guy named like Little Fingers or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, well, to me sounds like Featherhead from
Principal Featherhead on Riverdale. They made up these names just to make me mad, like Dilton Doily. See, here's like the first season of Riverdale was like a serious, somewhat serious teen drama. Then they thought, okay, who cares? You're just out the window, like, we're gonna make this really stupid. It's like they didn't want to just go through another serious season. I don't recommend Riverdale except for season one. Okay, so I direct it. Yeah, so we have a standard issue PM. He was cool though, going for it, because he's like, he's cool, tough, menacing, and believable. And then George Segal chomps his cigar of a plum. What do you remember of this?
And that's all I remember. And I think it was pretty well written. I think that was around the time of neo-noir movies like Red Rock West and such.
We gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, I think we liked it. I think as the movie quality is good. Like I mean, it's not one of these slam-bang PMs with like cars blowing up every second, but it's. I think they were trying to step away from that and have it be a bit more noirish, which is a good thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's what we said here. You know, it says it's easy to see this sitting on the shelf of your local video store, but it's vying for rental among its most popular competitors.
Yeah, yeah. So like, that's well said by me, if I may say so.
But it does have the car blowing up in the middle of the street.
You know? Well, of course it does. But that's not the main focus. It's not like a Last Man Standing. I think it's a little more moody and like a film noir type deal.
Well, that's a great segue to the next movie, which is The Last Marshal.
Oh, here's a classic. Now, you want to talk about some classic dialogue and oh, my good lines. Yeah.
I'll not even say it on this podcast. We're a family podcast, but... William Forsythe is the evil. He plays a German guy. It's like, what's his name in it?
Well, it shows he has a lot of range, you know.
I'm just talking about William Forsythe. He has range. He has it too. It's like something about him keeps you watching. What was his name in that? Here it is. Oh, the Clerk. That was a name. But so if people haven't seen this awesome movie from 1999 from the makers of Strike Force. Cole McCleary, played by Scott Glenn, he's a tough, hard-drinking, hard-fighting, and hard-swearing Texas deputy marshal. And he has to be sent to Miami. This is very similar to Strike Force. To take down the cleric, and also Torres. And his partner, T-Boy, played by Raymond Cruz from Breaking Bad. But yeah, this is a fun, kind of fun action flick. The people should definitely take a look. And then, do you remember the location that Cole McCleary goes to in Miami?
Oh, the Steak and Strip?
That's correct. Yeah. So steakhouse and strip joint. Gotta be any more. This is the most macho eaters we've ever seen on film. So
this also has some good dialogue. And it's a politically incorrect dialogue that I think we enjoyed and kind of set this movie apart from the norm.
Yes, and of course there's a part where Cole McCleary has a soft spot for other people. You know, we can't be... But this is just... You gotta watch this, because it's like, this is like the last kind of gasp of these like 1999 action movies that you can be politically incorrect.
Right, right. So for that reason alone, it's worth watching and kind of worth seeking out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the Clerk. I don't remember much about the Clerk. I think
I don't either. This movie's all about Scott Glenn, let's face it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still a solid B-movie cast.
Oh, yeah.
I think Scott Glenn, I heard he was kind of, like, grumpy when he was making this movie, because, you know, it's a low-budget movie, you know. I hear Scott Glenn is very grumpy.
It really worked for his character. I mean, not to sound too much like one of these Hollywood people, but it really did work for his character. Like, he made it work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's so good about Last Marshal, which is spelled wrong on the cover.
Oh.
Because, you know, Marshall. Marshall. The DVD says there's 2 L's in Marshall.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the correct way is the single L version.
Yeah, 1 L only. But, I think I read something with Scott Glenn where he hates commercials and TV.
So do I. So do most people.
So he won't be on like network TV or something. If he wants to be on TV, he has to be like on a streamer or like like pay cable. He will not do network commercials.
I like that about him because
you
know, that's cool. I'm always railing against commercials, it sounds like. So, I mean, it does kind of sound like he's an angry, disgruntled guy. Oh, these damn commercials. Why are there so many commercials?
I'm so good with Scott Glenn. Yeah, it's not the Scott Glenn podcast, but that could be something. But
anyway, it could be.
All the time. He doesn't do a lot of those. That's the problem, you know?
That's true.
All right, so then We have a few more. We could. Well, we always talk. I'll make this one quick, which is Out for Justice. But this is a good William Forsythe role for him. You know, Steven Seagal. You know, he's Gino Foligno. That's his last name.
Of course, he is. Well, I mean, we've talked about Seagal / Alfred Justice / the first couple movies of Seagal's career a lot on this podcast. I don't feel like we need to go too deep into this.
I'll make it very short. It's Seagal versus Forsythe. You gotta love it. William Forsythe plays Richie. And he guns down Bobby Lupo.
Right, of course.
And that's about it. People haven't seen Out for Justice. This obviously one of the better Seagal movies. We gave it 3.5 stars. What else can you say?
Well, I mean, I think at this point it's more about when's the last time you watched it. Not like people haven't watched it. I think most people have probably seen it. I think it's all a matter of when you're going to rewatch it, which I probably am due for a rewatch myself.
Yeah, it's due for a rewatch. I mean, it's a good Forsythe role. It's a good role for him because this is a Forsythe podcast. So he's very effective as the bad guy, definitely evil. So.
He did play a lot of bad guys in his time. So I like when he does a good guy because it's kind of different, kind of like in Strike Force.
Or Strike Force or, Direct Hit, basically. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I was going to say Direct Hit, pretty much,
So the last one we have on the site, let me just double check that, is The Substitute.
Oh, right. See, he's been in so many things. It's easy to forget them all. Like people think, Dick Tracy. Which, when I was a kid, might have been the first Forsythe.
Oh. Is that the first Forsythe you've seen as a kid?
I'm guessing it is.
I think we talked about it. No, he plays Flat Top.
Yes.
But should I rewatch Dick Tracy?
I don't know. Didn't you watch it not that long ago? A couple of years ago?
I don't remember. I think I've thought about watching it a couple of times. But I feel like I have seen it, but I know I've seen it. I definitely saw it, but my memory of it is very, very from a long time ago.
Let's see, I mean, if we're getting into memories, in 1990, when I was about 10 years old, obviously I was very swept up in Dick Tracy mania. Because at that time, there were these event movies that people really cared about, and there was a big deal, like Batman, 1989. And then which was a huge deal. And then not long after, 1990, we had another huge deal, which was Dick Tracy. And then not long after that, we had Terminator 2.
Right.
Which is
after that?
That might have been the last one where, it's not like it is now, where it's, movies come out, it's probably a superhero movie, and that's about it. Back then, it was like these event things where it's a big deal to people. And there was a lot of hype and marketing and promotion and people got swept up in these big event movies.
I think, I'm not counting this as a good movie, but Godzilla had a lot of promotion from the 1997, 1998. I remember that. It was everywhere.
Right. I mean, to someone of more of your age bracket, that might have...
I didn't think it was like... I hate monsters, so...
because I'm not talking about the quality of the movie at all. I'm just talking about the... when people thought a movie was a big deal, that's the best way I can say it. Now a movie's not really a big deal to people anymore.
No, no one cares anymore. I mean, now what's the highest movies are coming out now? You don't really know. And if they do come out, they'll come to streamers pretty quick.
Right. And then you don't even know because they don't list them on the movie marquee when you drive by. So they don't even bother to do that, much less have a marketing explosion.
No, I can't remember super event movie. I mean, I'm going back to the 90s, but it's
maybe you could say Avatar,
that's true. Maybe Star Wars: The Phantom Menace. That was pretty huge.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But see, now we're really getting into the dregs.
Well, that's the thing, though. See, this kind of shows that the 80s and 90s are the best decade nowadays.
Well, that's what I always say. That's my big platform.
So, but we need to go to The Substitute.
Well, this is another movie we've talked about, I think, quite a lot. I don't know how much we need to go into this with Carl Thomason.
Well, no, this is Shale. This is Barry.
Oh, right. Sorry. My mind is always set to Treat Williams.
Okay. Well, this is the original Substitute from 1996. We went to the theater, by the way. You got your Tom Berenger, you got your Ernie Hudson. people know this, Mark Anthony. And of course, William Forsythe as Holland. He's one of these, he's a mercenary group with Shale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have mercenary humor, and as we always say, with kind of the jokes they have amongst themselves, which we call mercenary humor.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So the plot, if you haven't seen The Substitute in a while, is that he's a Vietnam vet mercenary, Shale Behringer, and he has this team played by Luis Guzman, Richard Brooks. Raymond Cruz is back as Joey and Holland. For say he's the unhinged Holland. After going through hell and back through numerous wars and dangerous escapades, nothing can prepare them for the most threatening and perilous mission yet: high school. Very good. So, but Shale's love interest, Jane, played by Diane Venora, is attacked in true Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding fashion. So Shale goes undercover as her substitute while she's just resting. Fortunately for Shale, the school is a chaotic jungle of drugs, gangs, and bad language and tardiness. Principal Claude Roll, is it Rollet or Roll?
I'm guessing it's like Roll, like Esther Roll.
Oh, okay. Esther Roll. I'm thinking of, she's a comedian from the past.
No, wasn't she on, oh God, I don't want to say the wrong thing. She was a name.
You're thinking of Touched by Angel, you're thinking of Della Reese, aren't you?
Yes, yes, yes. You had to out me on that. Sorry.
Esther Roll. I'll look into that later. By Claude Roll. He seems to be doing his best, but could he be evil? But there's an evil gang called the Kings of Destruction. They rule the school, K-O-D. Not to be accused of P-O-D, as we put. E for the nation.
Yeah, which was really what they were in the substitute. They were very youthful.
Yes, they're about 35 years old.
Well, there's that too.
Juan Lucas, played by Mark Anthony, is the real villain. So Shale teamed up with Merc buddies and they take down the school. Okay, so what do you remember? I mean, I think we gave this 2.5 stars.
Well, I think the best was yet to come with the Substitute series. I mean, this is not in any sense a bad movie. It's a good movie, but I feel like Substitute 3, I believe that's winner take all, right? Yeah.
I love that movie.
That's got to be the best of the sub-series. I mean, that's arguable, of course, but maybe it isn't. But, you know, it's like Dangerous Minds meets Sniper. I don't know.
Yeah. So what I'm going to put
Principal, I think, would be a better comparison. The Principal with James Belushi.
The Principal, you know, that's an okay movie at best. You know, James Belushi, you've seen that?
I have seen The Principal, but it's been a very long time.
Right. You have a good memory about the mercenary humor, because you said right in the... Also, Raymond Cruz has a man bun, which is quite the current man bun trend. We also put... there's a great character... named John Janus. Remember that? He's a competing mercenary. He has a mercenary demo reel. And the actor's played by Willis Sparks.
I mean, that's probably like one scene in the movie, so I can't really say I remember it offhand.
Yeah, it's a mercenary demo reel, and it says that Janus informed us that it was created by the guy who normally does rock videos.
Okay, I do kind of remember that now. It's like this is done by the guy who does rock videos. Yeah, I do remember that.
It's like a video of him looking like a ninja and mercenary. It's really funny. That was the best part of the movie, probably. And of course, no talking in the library.
Of course. I mean, the yo-yo scene.
I think that was something to do, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I was saying the stuff like that came later.
Yeah. Well, just great about the third one of Substitute. Yeah, Substitute. I cannot say words. Is it's about the evil steroids in part 3. It's like, you know, also these like drugs that are very popular today. So these Substitute movies are ahead of its time. So I guess if people haven't seen this in a while, I'd check it out. So.
So now I guess comes the point in the podcast where we kind of just freestyle it and we just kind of do a bunch of honorable mentions.
Yeah, I'm going to run it down. So we're going to start from, do you remember any forces on top of your head that you liked?
You can go first.
Well, I'm just going to run some stuff down. Of course, Once Upon a Time in America. I need to rewatch that. And when's the last time you watched that one?
Well, a while. I mean, I guess he was on an episode of Justified, you know.
Oh, you want to go? Okay, sure. I was going for a second. I don't remember that.
I guess it's probably one episode.
I remember going. I might watch Justified City Primeval very soon, actually. Right now I'm watching the show with, called Sugar of Colin Farrell on Apple TV. Meh. Most Apple TV shows aren't very good. It gets put through the mediocre machine like Netflix. Okay, so I want to mention...
I mean, he was in Stiletto, the movie we mentioned sometimes.
Oh, Stiletto. I love Stiletto. Why? I don't know. See, that was 2000 and... Let me see. 8? Yeah, 2008, where he plays Alex, one more say, but it's more of a Stonicotic vehicle. And Tom Berenger. And Michael... It's an amazing cast. Almost like Strikeforce. You got Tom Berenger, you got Michael Biehn, and you got Diane Venora, and James Russo, and Tom Sizemore, and Dominic Swain. And Tom Sizemore's large bills.
Right.
I mean, I wish there was more large bills in it, but what Tom Sizemore you get is like classic Sizemore. I can't believe that he's gone, by the way.
I know.
It's hard to just, like, oh, okay, we'll do a few more, and then we'll wrap up. But yeah,
Firestorm, Howie Long, Squarehead.
He was the villain in that, right? No, no. My memory of Firestorm, I think Scott Glenn was the villain. William Forsythe was Squarehead. Did you like Firestorm?
Well, not really, from what I remember. I didn't think it was that hot.
Very good. I might need to rewatch. I think I gave it 2 chances. Like, this is not good. I mean, I might give it 1 more chance.
I mean, it depends how square you want his head to be. I mean, can that carry a 2-hour movie? Just a guy who has a square head? I don't know. What's his name? Oh, was it not Huey Long? Howie Long.
Huey Long. He was like a politician, right?
William Forsythe is in one of your favorites, Gotti, with Armand DeSante.
And of course, you think I'm going to forget that he's in Virtuosity? It's William Cochran. You know,
and The Rock.
And The Rock and Denzel's buddy, you know, because he might pass away. Virtuosity, masterpiece. Yes. Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Yeah.
You know, his franchise. Great movie, by the way. I can't quote what Walken says in the movie in this podcast. I'll have to do it off air. So, I also want to mention Relentless 3.
Yeah.
He was good in that. And let's see, a few other ones.
I guess most people would probably mention Raising Arizona, but we're just going to run swiftly past that.
I'm going to For Which He Stands, which also stars Ed McMahon.
Yes.
Which I watched about a year or so ago. You have to wait a long time for Ed McMahon. which is correct, sir. So it's like, yeah, Gotti.
Beyond Desire, that's a movie.
It's Kari
Wuerr. He was in it with Kari Wuerr.
I've seen it. My memory of that is about pretty poor, but I've definitely seen it. I have a copy on tape if you want to borrow it. The Gotti is so great as Sammy the Bull. I love Gotti, the Montesanti one. And the Travolta one's funny too. Check that out.
First time felon.
I've seen that. I don't remember much about it. I remember that much. Ambush, I remember that. It's a Courtney B. Vance movie. I think he was evil.
Dollar for the Dead. Didn't you just watch that?
I know I have a copy. I've never seen it. But hey, your squarehead is back.
Yes, he's my squarehead. Well, see, you mentioned Hell's Kitchen. Isn't that an example of what we were just talking about earlier in the podcast, where what they do with Angelina Jolie's face?
Yeah, super Angelina Jolie face. Yeah, she started in the dregs. Look at Cyborg 2, you know.
What was it, Cyborg 3?
No, Cyborg 3 has Malcolm McDowell and... Didn't we talk about this the other day? Oh, was it Cato Kaelin?
Oh, probably. We were talking about Cato Kaelin. Yeah, probably.
And might as well mention Luck of the Draw. He has all our favorites. Oh, Michael Madsen as Zippo.
and Malicious Intent. Do you already mention that?
I did, but he does look like Colonel Sanders in that.
Well, that's good.
That's the best part. You know, love Colonel Sanders. He's my favorite colonel. I'm totally going to put him in my cabinet. Okay.
Now, The Last Letter. This is a movie that you own, right?
Yes, I own Last. That's a very interesting kind of courtroom, kind of like 12 Angry Men meets like a horror movie.
That's interesting.
It's interesting. It's like, I would definitely check that out. Is that on your pile?
It might be. If it isn't, then maybe it should be.
And William Forsythe's also in this weird movie, which I've seen called Outlaw. It's on YouTube. It's one of these rare Madsens. I don't remember much about him in it, but he's there. Bo Svenson, Jeff Fahey. That's the other one with, Martin Cove, but it checked that out. It's a weird movie outlaw. It's like not a finished movie.
Right. And then a best video classic, Hard Cash.
Yeah. No, I actually seen Hard Cash from beginning to end.
From beginning to end.
It's, if you want to laugh, because there's, you know, it's Christian Slater and Val Kilmer hitting the skids. Also Vern Troyer, William Forsythe.
Oh.
I think he plays like a Russian guy, William Forsythe. He's not really in it. Bo Young. That's very, very stupid. But there's some really, really bad green screen in Hard Cash. Like, it's beyond the most obvious you've ever seen.
Green screen for Hard Cash.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. It's like, there's a part where like Christian Slater's on a boat in the water. I'm putting quotes to quotations. Like, I'm driving a boat. It's
like, whereas in Hard Rain, he really was surrounded by real water.
That's true. I hear that was a pretty tough shoot. Meets a few other ones, and then we'll let you guys go.
That's all I got.
Let's see here. Oh, Hack. I just rewatched that. It's like a kind of a newer slasher from 2007. It's not that new. Danica McKellar. It tries too hard. Let's see. Stiletto, you mentioned Eye Murders. Let's mention that for a second. He plays Professor Uberoff.
Okay.
I saw this movie because, you know, it's about evil things on the internet. You know, it's eight members of a MySpace chat are being gruesomely murdered.
Okay, well, that sounds good. That seems like something I would watch.
I need to rewatch it. I don't have a copy, unfortunately. He's also on an episode of CSS Miami.
Miami?
That's the great one with directed by Rob Zombie, and it's really funny. Yeah.
Oh, that's the one. That's funny. Yes, yeah. He was in a Rob Zombie movie, at least one, right?
Yeah. He's in Devil's Rejects, which is that's a big role for Forsythe. That's a super Forsythe movie because he's all over that thing. He's definitely out there in that one. Anything else that I want to mention? Then William Forsythe is in these kind of garbagey things, but we'll end on a lot of them I haven't seen.
Well, we could end on a high and just say Stone Cold is great.
Yeah, and he's doing some TV stuff. Anyway, here's something about William Forsythe that we can end on here, which is, he's in one of these God's Not Dead movies. God's Not Dead, We the People.
You haven't seen that one, have you?
No, I'm not paying it. But yeah, you got William Forsythe, Isaiah Washington, Antonio Sabato Jr., and Jeanine Pirro. Why am I not watching this movie?
I was just going to say that. Why? What are you waiting for? This is like a Thai movie all the way.
As Judge Neely. That's hilarious. Okay. I'm always so mad.
Does it say how you can watch it?
Unfortunately, you have to pay on Amazon. Maybe that's not true. I'll do a more deeper dive.
Well, it should be hitting Tubi after that.
I've seen the other God Not Dead. I saw the first one that had Kevin Sorbo and the second one that had Melissa Joan Hart. So, and there's another one. This is the fourth one. There's a third one called A Light in Darkness. And who's in that one? I don't know. No names. Or John Corbett. Lucky himself.
Right. Stupid. All right. Well, so that's kind of our breakdown of,
Anything else you want to say? Like, what do you, like, it's one of these kind of character actors you can't really help but enjoy.
That's all I would say, because it's always a good thing. You know, it's William Forsythe, and it's okay, that's something. You know, it's something you can hang your hat on.
Yeah. It does help when he's hanging around on something that's a big garbage. He's like, oh, good, William Forsythe will carry this.
So that's the thing, he's dependable.
Yeah.
He's versatile, he's dependable, he does have that magnetic screen presence.
And voice, which I can't do, but, you know.
Yeah, it has a raspy voice that we all like.
I love that. So I guess all the movies we reviewed on the site are the ones to kind of check out for Foresight, like Direct Hit, like the main ones where he's a starring role. Which is,
right. And it's kind of, and they're all, those are like the more action related ones. Yeah. I mean, like we said, he does have good range and he's been in a lot of different things. I think he has the possibility to do even more than he's been given. He's, you know, kind of in the direct to video, quote unquote, ghetto. I think if, you know, he could do Hollywood type stuff. He just probably just hasn't been given those sort of roles.
Yeah, so he just has to, each one of these actors has to take what he can maybe get.
Right, and he's another one of these guys that likes to work, so he's always in everything all the time.
So that's what's great about him. So I guess that's it for the William Forsythe breakdown.
I think I've covered everything. I'm satisfied. Yeah, so do the plug-os, as you call them.
We have comeuppancereviews.net, the website. Now, we were just running down those four sites. Then comeuppancereviews, the podcast, is everywhere you can get your podcast, except for Stitcher, because I guess that went away. And then...
But to be fair, you can't get anything on Stitcher anymore.
No, you can't get anything. That didn't mean it was just us. But it's like, just me. Gotta take it more, chat. I didn't even do Dawson so good at all until now. But let me think.
I don't think Forsythe ever worked with Lundgren, did he?
I don't think so. Because we would have watched that. I would have watched
that. That's true.
But he's going, or Michael Madsen, Zippo. But tag him up and it's on the Twitter X. And what's the other thing I have? Oh, tag him up on Instagram. I posted Tell Me No Lies.
Amber Smith.
Yeah. There's a legend right there.
If only we could do an Amber Smith podcast.
Well, I have to watch that movie that has Everlast in it. Lowball.
Or is that
Eric Everlast Brody? So.
Yes.
And Peter Green, you know, another one of his character actors. So,
right. He's not a world away from William Forsythe. He usually plays a bad guy.
Yeah. So if you had like a character actor kind of like, you know, let's say audition room, he would be in it, Peter Green.
Oh, yeah. I bet they went up for a lot of the same roles.
Oh, yeah. You know, Peter Green was in, I even know the top of my head. He's in Endgame, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr. And, of course, Under Siege 2 as, like, mercenary number 5.
Yeah, why? But he's had better roles than that.
Oh, yeah. He's great in The Usual Suspects. I think he steals The Usual Suspects, Peter Green, if you remember his character.
I try to forget anything related to a certain person.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say his name.
No, we you know who we're talking about. But we'll end on a high note. So hopefully you can check out those sports sites and then we'll be back soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Do you really want a whammy?